Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Chris Lorton. I'm your host and a special guest today. I kind of off the cuff said, hey, can we do this interview? I'll go, for sure. So I've got Tyson Schulte with me. Welcome, Tyson.
Hey, it's good to be here. Yeah, glad it all worked out.
Yeah, this is aired and recorded on Friday, 5/29, and you are playing at the Greene County Fair tonight.
Yeah, sure am. Super pumped. I spent a lot of time in Carrollton, believe it or not. I've played at the grain bin a few times there.
You have?
On the square or wherever you call that.
Yeah.
And so County Fair reached out and said, hey, we want you to play, I think, the beer garden or their showcase area. So that's where we're going to be tonight, full band. Should be a good time.
Yeah. Okay, so your full band. How many pieces you got in the band?
Well, this one's a full band, so there'll be six of us up there.
Super.
Yep. So it'll be fun.
And you're opening July 11th. You're coming and playing with, who are you opening for?
Chris Cagle.
All right.
Yeah.
So did you know Chris?
I don't. I do not know Chris Cagle by any means.
Yeah.
I hope I get the chance to meet him here in about 6 weeks from this time, here in July. That'd be really cool. Mark that off the bucket list. But can't say I've ever met the guy.
Hey, before we get into, what you've been doing in music, just to let people know kind of where you come from. I like to let people know, who you are,
Yeah.
Where you from, son? Where are you from? Where are you going from?
Yeah, tell me where you come from, man. Where's your roots? I grew up in the Quad Cities area. I've spent a lot of time, obviously growing up in Illinois, I've traveled the countryside growing up showing hogs and was in FFA and very involved in, 4-H and things like that. But went to a little high school called Sherrard.
Sherrard,
yep, okay. Yep. There's some people, I want to say there's a Gerard
there
somewhere.
There is a Gerard, and not far from here.
I was going to say, it might be pretty close to here.
Yeah, I think maybe an hour.
Yeah, it's a lot of people go, oh, Gerard, I know where that's at. And it's like, no, Sherrard.
Sherrard.
A little further north in the nosebleed section of Illinois up there. But
it's funny. You say you're from the Quad Cities. I always think of the Quad Cities being like Quad Cities, like cities. But you grew up kind of in the country?
Yeah, I called it the perfect rural. I was about 5 minutes from McDonald's, so if mom didn't have anything cooking up for dinner, we could run into town, grab some french fries and a cheeseburger. But I could also jump on my four-wheeler and rip right down the road and not bother anybody. So it was ideal, just on the outside of town.
What was the town you actually lived in?
Milan. I was probably a couple miles away from a Sherrard address, but it was technically Milan. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And the Sherrard High School, how big was the Sherrard High School?
Yeah, it was a huge rural school.
Oh, it was.
Which those from, Jerseyville area can maybe relate. I want to say it's a pretty decent high school. I graduated with 120 people. Three or four small high schools eventually came together and made Sherrard High School. And so, it was...
So you had 120 in your graduating class?
120 people in a what you would... Up there, we'd call a small rural school because Moline graduates like 800. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were into showing,
yeah.
Into ag.
Yep.
And where'd you go to college?
Yeah, so before I went to college, I actually deferred a year. I was a state officer for the Illinois FFA. I was a state treasurer. Spent a year doing that. Actually spent a week doing chapter visits here in Jersey County and the neighboring counties as well. But after that was done, I went to Lakeland College in Mattoon, just a hop, skip, and a jump away. Actually went to school with some folks from this area.
Sure, you did,
and,
I'm sure.
Kind of how we linked up here is a mutual contact that I went to college with, met that gentleman in school. But
who's that?
Tom Kerback.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a friend from my Lakeland days, and all these years that friendships last. But yeah, I left Lakeland, went to the University of Illinois, and took a victory lap up there, but studied ag engineering and enjoyed my time in Champaign and Mattoon both. So.
And then out of college, you get into some, continue on in ag?
Yeah, definitely. I always thought I wanted to work for John Deere, being from kind of the home of John Deere, Moline, Illinois, ended up taking a job with ADM. And they shipped me not to Decatur. They shipped me to Hutchison, Kansas.
What's
and
ADM so, stand for?
What is that? Archer Daniel Midland is okay. what that stands for.
All right. And yeah. what do they do, ADM?
Well, ADM, they do a lot of different things. They got a hand in flour milling, a major grain storage company. They got a ton of grain elevators. That's actually what I was doing out in Kansas. I was working at what's stapled as the longest grain elevator in North America. It was a half mile long.
But we recently went to Yellowstone, yeah. and we were driving through Kansas. And, yeah, there were some in Colorado, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some big grain elevators.
Huge concrete elevators. Yeah, huge. Monstrous. Yeah. yeah. It was super cool. I learned a lot while I was out there working for ADM. There's, just to give you an idea, that one elevator had 1,100 different bins in it, and we knew exactly what was in every bin, and we loaded shuttle trains out of there that went to the coast of Texas, got loaded on ships, and mm-hmm. all that wheat pretty much went to China. So very cool.
So you were living out there in the middle of nowhere?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It yep. seemed like we were driving through. It was like, you know, just like there's nobody out here. Yeah. I mean, it's just like open ground, you yeah. know, just maybe a small town yeah. once in a while, you yeah. know.
We were only 30 minutes away from Wichita, and so it, you know, it didn't take me too far away from how I grew up, kind of being, you know, readily available to some of those more urban things, you know. But yeah, I still enjoyed where I lived. I lived on what I called the last hill in Kansas. And yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Let's get to the meat of this thing. How in the heck when did you get in or have time to get into music? How'd that happen?
Yeah, so I lived out in Kansas for 3 years, came back to Illinois, and you know, COVID kind of put your mind into perspective of the important things. You can't pick where your family's from, so came back to Illinois. But before I left and went to Kansas, the Illinois State Fair started doing this karaoke contest thing. And when I was at Lakeland, and, you know, some of my friends would tell you that I enjoyed singing at the local gatherings that we'd have. Yeah. And people would tell me, they go, hey, man, you got a good voice.
You were a natural.
Yeah. And so I started singing some karaoke at and some random strangers would come up and be like, hey, man, you can sing. And I was like, I don't know. So on
no,
the
that's
other...
never happened to me.
Yeah. Well, and now it don't happen very much anymore. But no, yeah. So when the Illinois State Fair said they were going to do this karaoke contest, I was like, I'll give it a try. And yeah. so you had to qualify through county fairs, like 10 county fairs. You had to make the top two. And first year I did it, I qualified, but I didn't even place in the top five in the finals. And so moved to Kansas, come back. They're still doing it. And I said, I'm going to do that again. I was hesitant, but I was like, I'm going to do it again. Qualified again, when you know I won. And so the cool part about winning was you got to open up for the grandstand act that night at the state fair. And so okay. I opened up for Craig Morgan and Toby Keith. And
nice.
That's super
that
awesome.
That is great.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Fun.
Talk about tickled pink. I was scared to go yeah. up there, you know. But by the time I walked off, I had goosebumps. I was like, man, I want to do that again.
Yeah.
Well, there's no rules that said he couldn't do it twice, and you couldn't win twice, and so I did it again the next year, and wouldn't you know, I won again, and opened up for a guy named Kendall Marvel. He helped write Right Where I Need to Be, made famous by Gary Allen,
yeah,
right? And
yeah.
So that's how I kind of know who he is, but the other ones everybody knows, Brooks and Dunn. So I got to
sure.
open up for both those gentlemen, and I remember walking off the stage after winning it the second time, going to get a corn dog with my dad. Got to do that. You're at state fair, need a corn dog. And I told him, I said, man, maybe I can do something with this. And so started pushing social media. And
how old were you then?
I was 20. Oh, man. I'm trying to remember if I was 27 or 28. It
really?
Was 2022. So I would have been 4 years ago. So I'd have been 28 years old, I think. Yeah. So thank God for social media. I started to make some friends in the industry and started to figure out how this thing actually works. And I'm still learning. I ain't got a clue how the music industry works all together. But we're figuring it out. We're navigating. Here we are.
You know what? That's what's fun. You
yeah.
know? Yeah. That's the same way with me and this radio station.
You know? Yeah.
I didn't have a clue, but we're having fun.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And just trying to keep people entertained and keep them informed. And, you know.
Yep.
Now karaoke. What songs? What was your songs that you could win back to back?
Yeah.
at the fair.
So yeah, this is where it all comes full circle. You know, we're talking about opening up for Chris Cagle right here in July at the Jersey County Fair, and my go-to karaoke song that I give sole credit to being able to win this contest was Chicks Dig It, which is Chris Cagle's like staple song. If you stick around long enough for the whole concert, I'm confident. I mean, I'll put some money on it if I have to. I'm confident that'll be the song he ends with is Chicks Dig It.
Okay.
Because it is by far, at least my favorite. I'd believe it's probably his most popular song. And so if it wasn't for Chicks Dig It and Chris Cagle, I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now because I wouldn't have that song to sing.
And now you're going to open for him.
Yeah, that's crazy.
In July 11th.
Yep.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Tyson Schulte with us tonight. And he's got to play, or he got to sing and play, and got his band going to Greene County Fair tonight, but going to be back. Going to be back on the 11th. So you've opened for those guys. Who else have you opened for now that you're kind of into it? You know, you got a band and you're kind of going.
Yes.
Kind of reeling.
Yeah, so, you know, go to the karaoke contest and, you know, getting the chance to share a stage with Craig Morgan, Toby Keith, Brooks and Dunn. That was awesome, you know, but I was singing somebody else's songs, you know.
Yeah.
And so started releasing my own music, putting stuff out there on Spotify, all stuff I'm terrible with grammar. I don't know if the right word is wrote or written, but songs that I've made myself, and released myself. But I've opened up for acoustically, so I'll bridge into that as well. But acoustically, I've opened up for Tracy Lawrence, Gretchen Wilson, be just kind of a neighbor to hear, you know.
Sure.
Jake Owen, Uncle Cracker, David Nail, some pretty cool mainstream names, and then some up and comer guys like Logan Ryan Band. Man, he's one of my favorites out of Texas right now, super popular down there. But this year, getting a chance to share the stage with the band. This is the first year we're bringing the band out and starting to do some of the stuff with the band. So Chris Cagle will be the first time we really step on a big stage with the band. Not that we haven't played before, obviously we're playing tonight, but we'll open up for Jody Messina, a gentleman named John Langston. And although this one's acoustic, bringing it full circle again, I get a chance to open up for Craig Morgan again here in August. So super excited about that because last time I did it, it was from a karaoke contest.
Now, when you open up, are you doing your own songs? Or are you doing covers?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, so obviously I'm not a household name, but I like my original music and I got fans out there. So I'll definitely play original music for all the folks that show up. But we like to throw in some of people's favorite covers, you know, some of the ones that we enjoy the most.
Yeah. Now, as far as writing songs, how many songs have you written since you kind of got into this?
Yeah, so I just today released my ace song, and eighth that I've released. So it's got a word that's not approved on radio, so I won't necessarily say that word, but it's called Here's the Weekend, and with an extra word in there. But nonetheless, that'd be the eighth one I dropped altogether. But I got two more recorded that'll be coming out, and I've got tons of music in the bullpen, I guess, of songs I've written that reality is it costs money to record. So just trying to, you know, accrue the funds to be able to record more of these songs and get more of them in the hands of the folks who want to listen to them.
You can record here.
Yeah, we might have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll make you a heck of a deal.
All right. Hey, you don't tempt me with a good time.
Now, when you record, do you use your band to record with?
Actually, no.
Okay.
I've been going down to Nashville and sourcing some session guys and working with some producers down there. And most recent producer I use has been working with some pretty big up-and-coming names in the industry. And it's kind of crazy how small it really, really gets when you start to get involved in it of who's associated with who. But,
you know, it's kind of crazy. You know, a lot of times... guys that I've talked to around here that are into music and been doing music for a long time. They started when they were young, you know, young kids, right? And they started writing their own music, you know, and they talk about, you know, them writing music, you know, some of them, it just comes to them like in a flash, you know, and then they put it all together.
Yep.
How about you? What's your style?
Most songs I've ever written, I've probably sat down and had them all done in 10 to 30 minutes. I'm in the same boat. You get an idea, and then it starts to flow, and then it just all comes together. I don't know if I've ever put one together where I had to think about it for days or weeks or months, but that's probably also just my short-term attention span. You know, I don't necessarily get bored with it, but I get frustrated with it. But that's where I look forward to maybe co-writing with some people. If I could take some of these ideas that I could never really bring together, like I write, and my writing practices kind of have always come to light. Maybe they can help me put these stories
together. I'd like
together.
To introduce you to Rusty Gropple. He's a local guy, but he's a heck of a songwriter.
Really?
Yeah, and he's a great singer, too, and entertainer. But he's a mail carrier, you know, and he works every day, but he also's got a ton of songs he's written. Kind of comes from music, you know.
Yeah.
And he's a good one. And then John Evans. Okay. I don't know if you heard of John Evans. He's from Carrollton.
Him. Okay.
And he just put out an album. He said, didn't know where to stop. Had 17 songs on his album.
Yeah, that's quite a few.
But him and Rusty, he wrote a few of them together.
Yeah.
There, but so when you are writing your songs, do you put the melody first or the words first?
Yeah, that's tough. Honestly, I'll give you some examples, like Twister, right? Twister's one of my more popular songs. I sat down thinking I love the song Hurricane by the Band of Heathens, and I like the Thunder Rolls, you know, and stuff like that. And I was sitting there going, man, nobody ever wrote a song about a tornado. And so I sat down with that idea and kind of got a strum pattern kind of figured out, and the rest is history. It came together pretty quick. But I've also created songs around a riff. You know, somebody starts playing the guitar, and then you kind of think of some words that just work with that melody, you know, and that rhythm, and then next thing you know, you got a song.
Yeah, the cool thing is you started this late in life.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of started up.
Yep.
And you're still working a regular job.
Yep, 100%. 9 to 5 still keeps me from being able to just kind of up and run away. And
so you're
do this
working
full-time.
9 to 5 and at an elevator, is that right?
No, actually, I work for ConAgra. And so those that might not know much about ConAgra, I don't blame you, but you definitely know what they make. The plant that I work at, we make wishbone salad dressing, Miss Buttersworth syrup, and log cabin syrup, some other things. But ConAgra is known for, they make Slim Jim, they make snack packs, mm-hmm. David Sunflower seeds, banquet ready meals, Ready Whip in the can, Blue Bonnet Butter. They make all sorts of food, tons of food, and massive food company.
So what do you do at your job?
I'm in continuous improvement. So in other words, I get the hyper-focus on data and understand what it's telling us and where we can be better, and then try to develop processes and people to help close those gaps to be more efficient in how we work. And so that's really helped me, honestly, in my music career, because aside from the creative side of it, this is a business, you know, mm-hmm. and so you got to figure out where's your audience and how do you promote this song and, you know, where are you lacking in trying to get to where you're going. And so my day job definitely helps me navigate the music industry from a business perspective. But
yeah. And you find enough time to play your music as well and record songs. And so you must be pretty busy.
It is
How many hours do you put in a week? Oh. As far as like ConAgra, 40?
Yeah, it's 40-hour
okay,
week.
Okay, how many hours do you put in the music business?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you. I honestly, I've never even penciled it. Not only am I getting married in the fall, but we also got horses and a hobby farm at home, do a lot of baling of hay, and the music thing definitely trumps all that in terms of how much time commitment it is. But if you wanted me to put a number to it, I couldn't even tell you. It's another full-time job.
Yeah.
I mean,
you'd probably do another 40 hours.
Probably.
But enjoying every bit of it.
All of it. Absolutely. Yeah. I love it. But it is a commitment, you know? I mean, I think it's crazy how people think in the entertainment sector, and you would probably feel this with the radio too, is just songs play on the radio. There's nothing behind it. There's no energy into it. You just turn the song on and it plays on the radio. No different than how a band just shows up and starts playing songs. There's nothing into it. But you and I both know in this industry, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes to make that a reality, you know? And so that's been the hardest learning curve for me and my fiance is what are all the pieces that really bring this all together? And that's where we probably spend most of our time with the music side of it.
Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be in 5 years? You set a goal there?
I don't know if I've looked 5 years out.
You know, you look like kind of the guy that, when I'm looking at you, your energy and you're a smart guy. You know?
I don't know. I'll take what I can get.
You know, you could hit the big time. You know, and I know that's where you want to go.
Oh, I'd love to get there.
So how are you going to get there? What's your game plan?
Yeah, so I'll walk you through kind of the 3 years I've been doing this as short of an explanation as I can. First year I started doing this, I played a lot of bars, tons of bars. And I learned really quick that you couldn't control how many people were going to show up, nor who was going to show up. And ended up playing for a lot of people that just were there to drink on a Saturday night. Don't blame them. I'd be there at my local watering hole too to drink on a Saturday night. But they weren't there for music. So the next year, I had a chance to open up. That first year, I had a chance to open up for Tracy Lawrence. And I remember that was a show that was super memorable for me because everybody was there to hear music. And they paid attention. And I had a mass follow me after that. And said, that's my goal. I said, I want to be on stages like that. So the next year, I didn't book a bunch of bars. And I kept myself available for opportunities like that. And I didn't have a whole lot of them going into the summer. But people cancel and phone calls happen. And I ended up doing a lot of big shows.
Yeah.
And so that's been kind of the strategy. You've moving in with
plan,
the band.
You
know, got
you?
Got a band. I want to get in front of audiences that are there for music, you know, yeah. and want to hear what you got to give. And so I think the more and more we just advertise that market of people and genuine you know, audiences that are there for music, it'll slowly but surely grow. Persistence and patience is the best recipe. But
5 years, where are you going to be?
High hope in 5 years. I'll tell you, I just came from helping set up sound for a gentleman named Kenny Fiddler. And for those of the folks that are avid kind of red dirt Texas country fans, you'll know who Kenny Fiddler is.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a couple 100,000 monthly listeners. Man, if I get to a point where I'm doing something like that, gentlemen, and got a few 100,000 people that care enough to listen to me every month, and I can make a living traveling, playing for those folks, man, I'd love to be right there in 5 years. Absolutely. 100%. I don't need to be Morgan Wallen, man. I don't need to be in them big old stadium stages. But, you know, if I could play for a genuine audience of people that really want to hear what we're doing, that's where I'd love to be.
Hey, where can people find your music?
Everywhere. Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, Amazon, all of the above.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, we do a local vocal show every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m., and we'll get some of your music.
Yeah.
And before you leave today, I'll find some of your hot stuff that you like to push.
Sure.
And we'll get those on there, too.
That sounds amazing. Yeah.
And we also play some at lunchtime as well.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. I haven't really cracked the radio scene yet.
You're cracking it now.
That's one thing I've still got to learn about the music industry is how does radio work? But
Tyson, it's been great having you in.
Yeah.
Tyson Schulte, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to be opening up Saturday, July 11th for Kris Kringle. So, all right. Thanks for coming in, and have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for having me.